And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you all. We are still celebrating Christmas. This is the octave of Christmas, 8 days or 7 days, depending on how you count the evenings and days, since Christmas, 1 week ago. And so the church elongates the celebration of the birth of our Lord, the birth of our Savior. Now we understand Savior, huh? We understand, at least maybe conceptually, that Jesus died for our sins, that He did that upon the cross, that we are weak, that we are fallible. But to understand Him as Lord takes faith. And faith itself is a gift of grace for us. Because when we say Jesus Christ is Lord, as St. Paul says to us over and over again in the Scriptures, we are identifying Jesus with God. God. This is something really remarkable, huh? This little baby is God. To believe that takes faith. It's a gift, a grace, but not everybody has it. In fact, one man named Arius, he was a bishop. He lived in the early church, whether he ever believed or not, but he felt that Jesus shouldn't be called God. He should be called, well, as close as you want, right up there, even higher than the angels, but don't call Him God. And so Arian spread this heresy in the early church, and it became widespread. So the bishops got together and had to decide what to do about Arian and how to formulate in as strong possible way as possible our belief in Jesus Christ. And so they met at a council in Nicaea in the year 325, and they put together the Nicene Creed. And Catholic Christians have been reciting this creed Sunday after Sunday ever since. That Jesus truly is God from God, light from light, consubstantial with the Father, begotten but not made, one in being, one in being with God, the Father. Well, you think that would settle it, huh? Well, no, it didn't. Heresy has a way of hanging on. And so 100 years later, the heresy took a different form. This by way of the Patriarch of Constantinople. Now, after Rome, the greatest other city was Constantinople. In fact, in some ways, Constantinople was the prime city, was the capital of Rome, of the Roman Empire at that time. Constantine moved the capital from Rome to this new city that he named after himself. And so being the patriarch of this new city, the biggest city in the empire, well, he was feeling his oats, as it were. But the Pope was still in Rome, which now, after 100 years, kind of became a backwater place. Nobody went to Rome anymore. Everybody went to the capital, Constantinople. In any event, the Patriarch of Constantinople got the idea that Mary, the mother of Jesus, should not be called the mother of God. Well, was Nestorius, was his name, was he reviving the Arian heresy that Jesus was not divine? Well, some understood it that way, huh? And so the council had to meet again. The bishops met at this time in Ephesus. Ephesus was the great eastern capital of the Roman Empire before Constantinople. It was at Ephesus that the bishops got together and said, no, Mary can be called the Mother of God. And they condemned Nestorius. They wrote a letter to the parishioners of the city of Constantinople explaining to them why their archbishop, their patriarch, was a heretic. Maybe he had to be deposed. And they put forth a new title for Mary. And I'll say it in Greek. Theotokos. Mary can rightly be called Theotokos, which in English would be literally translated as God-bearer, that Mary truly held God within her womb in the person of Jesus Christ. That as St. John says in his prologue, the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word in verse 14, the Word became flesh, became incarnate. He became one with us. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. Well, the date that they made that declaration of Theotokos was October 11th. And that became the feast day of Mary, Mother of God. And for over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, that was the feast day for her. Many church gatherings would begin on October 11th. The Vatican Council II, began October 11th, 1962. But it was during that council that they wanted to underscore in a strong possible way the beauty of that word, Theotokos. The beauty of the doctrine of the Mary, Mother of God. And so they transferred that feast from October 11th. And I'll give you one guess. Guess which date they chose to put it. Today, January 1st. They said it's good that we have this as the octave feast. And the church does this a lot. It's good that we would have this feast as the octave to Christmas. The birth of Jesus and Mary and her title Mother of God. Now this, of course, redounds to Mary's glory. But Mary herself gives glory to her Son. Mary herself recognizes that she needs a Savior, that she's not above God, that she was just a chosen vessel, a handmaid of the Lord, and that she reflected on all these things in her heart. So should we, huh? These are deep mysteries. But God is not something way out there beyond the stars. That God truly became one with us, came into this world. He came into this world, however, on a mission, to get rid of sin, the mission to eradicate sin, to defeat Satan, to defeat death. And he did that on the cross. He did that on Good Friday. He did that on Easter Sunday. So after the feast of Easter is the feast of Christmas that we celebrate. So we have much to reflect on in our hearts, huh? But God has given us a Savior, and that through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, we too can reflect on all these things deeply in our heart, asking for the grace of faith, asking for the grace to believe.